ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
Ah, yes, the FIFA World Cup is underway and the Socceroos have won their first match against Turkey.
Socceroos, Socceroos.
I hope they're still playing that song. What is the language of soccer or football, as it's known in countries that don't have rugby, rugby league or AFL? Earl of the Erudite, Prince of Pronunciation, Viscount of the Vernacular and Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex. Good evening.
Good evening, Kel.
Did you watch the game on Sunday?
I watched some of it and I thought, this feels good. Mm. There was a kind of relaxed, fluid, creative aspect to the way they played, which I think is possibly true of AFL as well.
Sometimes, well, I was going from one to the other.
Yes. Well, yeah. You know, look, we're overwhelmed with wonderful excitement at the moment. Now, that was terrific. And particularly the way that young bloke just slotted the ball past the goalie, I thought was so mature.
Indeed. There were a couple of, we had the two goal scorers. We had Connor Metcalf, who scored the second goal, and Nestori Rancunda, who put through that first one. And the man who can probably say all those names correctly is Zane Bojack from ABC Sport. Hey, Zano.
Hello, Kel. Hello, Rolly. It's always a pleasure to hear Rolly's dulcet tones on the radio. I tell you what, I've been floating on air for the past 24 hours, and I'm probably just coming down. I've been describing it as a bit of a hangover, even though I haven't drunk anything. So there you go. It's just been magnificent, the feeling that the whole nation's experiencing, I think. But I was also excited when I found out, Rolly, that you were coming on to talk about football, one of the sports that I love. So I'm excited about this segment.
Lovely. And you call it football and not soccer?
Well, look, I think it's important because it is the I know we call it round ball football in Australia, but football is what the game is called throughout the world. And I know that even our national team is called the Socceroos because of, you know, the association meaning. But you might even let us know, Rolly, that might have been something that you did as your homework as to how America and Australia ended up calling it soccer when the rest of the world calls it football. But it is interesting for me that we still try to call it soccer when, let's be honest, it is football and always will be.
Ah, you are prescient, because of course I did some homework on this. We didn't even have soccer, the word, before 1885, where there was a reference in Oxford to people playing what they called the soccer game, S-O-C-K-E-R.
Oh, so not even spelled the way we do it now.
Now, the Football Association had come into being in 1863, and that was when they kind of solidified most of the rules as they then had them. And Wikipedia says that this was the first football association in the world, which is wrong, because Australian rules was codified 4 years earlier.
There we go.
And it was all down and ready and running. Now, what happened in England was that they had association and they played this soccer game thing. And the ER on the end, do you remember they used to put ER on the end like having brekker rather than breakfast? Mm-hmm. And they played rugger rather than rugby.
Yes.
And that's where soccer probably comes from. But no, 1885, the name is relatively late. The English were rather fond of putting ER or ERS in the end of words then. You used to go to bangers, which is Bangkok, and singers, which is Singapore, and so on. There was a bit of wordplay. But that was the first bit of soccer. Now, who calls it soccer and who calls it football? In England, they call it football.
Football.
And football, by default, is the round ball game. Mm-hmm. And all the way through Europe, every country has either borrowed the English football, or Fußball in German. In French, they even call it le foot.
Le foot.
Yeah.
I like that.
And in languages like Polish, piłka nożna, which means ball of the foot kind. Mm-hmm. And in Finnish, which is totally unrelated, which is jalkapallo, that's also football. So everywhere through these countries, that's the round ball game.
All right.
But wherever there is an oval ball game, mm-hmm. there is a bit of a contest. And in America, certainly, football refers to gridiron. In Canada, it's Canadian football, which is like gridiron, but a bit different. And they use soccer to refer to the round ball game. Likewise, South Africa, where rugby is very mm-hmm. strong. New Zealand, certainly.
Yes.
And in Australia, when you say football, it depends who you're talking to and where. Because if you hang around with soccer people, you're probably possibly talking about soccer.
Mm.
But if you hang around a lot with, say, league or AFL people, and you characteristically talk about the football, I'm going to the footy. And by the way, the Brits use footy as well to refer to soccer. So it's quite complicated.
Yeah, yeah. See, Zane, I think I would say soccer in Australia only to be clear about which game I was talking about.
Yeah.
And but if I was in a formal setting, I'd probably refer to it as football. But Aussie to Aussie, I'd say soccer, just because, well, then you have to clarify, is it AFL, is it rugby league, or is it rugby?
And
or is it soccer?
You have certain known biases. So.
Yeah, well, I do. I do have biases, but I can see why if the rest of the world at the moment is calling it football, we call it football.
And it is the world's football game. Hmm. There are more than 250 million players,
wow.
which is a lot.
And I think in Australia that when it comes to children's games
yes.
or that soccer actually has the most players.
I think that's true.
Of a certain sort of age, and then they start playing mm-hmm. other games because it's a, you know, it's a good game for adults too, don't get me wrong, but it's a good game for kids
and
to initially start playing.
My grandson plays it. And what is more, with the younger teams, they actually have girls and boys playing in the same team.
Yeah.
Until the physical differences start getting a little bit more yeah. intimidating.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, Zane, when you're commentating on soccer, when you first started, what were the things you had to learn, or have you always been into soccer?
Well, I first discovered soccer, or football, as I like to call it,
yep.
at Italia 90, Cal. So it was the World Cup that was held in Italy where you had Paul Gascoigne play for England and Jürgen Klinsmann playing for Germany and Maradona playing for Argentina.
Oh.
And it was just a magical melding of these magnificent athletes. And for me, that was the when I sort of fell in love with the game.
Mm.
Funnily enough, I'd been playing as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and by then I'd already moved on to rugby league and rugby union, but I hadn't really watched the 86 World Cup in Mexico. For some reason, 1990, I watched it when... I think it might have been because SBS first came to North Queensland, so I was able to watch the World Cup, and that's where I fell in love with it, and I followed it all my life. But I have to say, the World Cup in particular just grabs your heartstrings. And, yeah, I got to admit, when I started calling, there's still things about the game that I didn't quite know, even though I followed it and watched it. So it was a great opportunity tonight to try and find out some of the things that I was saying as a commentator but didn't really understand where they came from or why they're in place. And I don't know whether you've got it there, Rolly, but one of them for me was if someone scored a goal, you said, oh, well, they got one goal. If they scored two goals, they scored a brace.
Mm-hmm.
And I still to this day have no idea what a brace means.
Ah, that goes right back to venery, V-E-N-E-R-Y, which was the ancient art of hunting.
Oh.
We're now 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th century. And if you shot two partridge, that was a brace of partridge. And that's where your two comes from. And it's funny, actually, where people forget these things. You don't know where it comes from. It's a bit like, you know, the sun's over the yardarm. No one knows when the sun was over the yardarm, which is when the Navy could start drinking. But, in fact, these things persist in the modern language, and certainly brace is I think, well understood, probably in only that sense. I can't think of another one.
No, I haven't heard it used in any other sport, but I love that. Now, you also mentioned byline when we were having
yes.
a chat, Zane,
yeah.
which you
yes,
had an American commentator called Endline, and it was driving everyone nuts.
Yes, everyone in Australia, when we heard the American commentator say that what's usually called the goal line or the byline was mm-hmm. called an end line, which, of course, in the NFL is an end zone.
Yes.
And then they have an end line at the end of the end zone. So I think, I don't know whether they're confused or it's just something that they use so that Americans understand where the end of the field is. But I've got to be honest with you, Rolly, I've used byline forever in a day, yeah. But I don't really know why it's called the byline.
Well, I grew up with that. It's a bit like a bylaw and a byway and so on. By means near or close in Old and Middle English. So this is a meaning that's been around 1,000 years or so. And I think it's a line which is, if you like, by the field of play, but marking the bit of the field of play where it stops. The byline is also quite important because if you're approaching the byline and trying to do a cross in front of goal or something, you need to know exactly where you are and how far you're going, because the rule is that if the ball, I think it has to pass in total over the line
yes.
of the byline, and then it's out of play and it's either a goal kick or a corner. But, of course, soccer has got quite a few words which are only soccer.
Yes.
And one of those is corner, because you cannot have a corner on an oval field.
No,
yeah,
you cannot.
That's right.
On the other hand, you do have a corner on a rugby field, but it's not called a corner. Rather, there's no kick associated with it. All right? So mm-hmm. there are certain things. I mean, dribble, I think, which was originally liquids, came into soccer as a means of moving the ball with small movements of your feet under great close local control.
Hmm. Well, do you use that in basketball, a dribble?
You can, but this one certainly came from soccer. And in fact, soccer has been the donor of quite a few words, but there's at least one which I don't know of any other sport, and that's nutmeg.
Yes. So, Zane, what is nutmegging? When you nutmeg someone in soccer, what are you doing to them?
Oh, I'll tell you what's embarrassing when it happens. It's when a player is either dribbling or passing and they actually pass it directly through the legs of another player. So you're basically trying to get past your opposition and you kick it through their legs and go past them. That's called a nutmeg. And I don't know where it's come from or what it means, but I know why it happens and what it means in terms of when they do it. But I don't know where it's come from, and I'm very interested to know if Riley can tell me.
Well, this is one of the ones where the sources basically fail us, and they say orig uncertain. There are a number of ideas, and by the way, the person who's been nutmegged, and that is also a phrase, feels a real Charlie because they're made to look very silly.
Yes.
I mean, if you're standing there and someone pokes the ball between your legs and then picks it up on the other side of you, you look very incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
One suggestion was that nutmeg is Cockney rhyming slang for leg.
Uh-huh.
So that could be.
Could be.
Second one was that nutmegs used to be one of the very expensive spices until the early 20th century. Mm. And surprise of nutmeg coming in from overseas, the people sending them would occasionally put little bits of wood in to increase the volume without giving full weight for the thing. And so nutmeg was somehow something which was less than the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yeah, a bit tricky.
And there was one other which refers to indirectly to certain organs which we won't go to.
Yes. Nutmegs being, we're going to say, male genitalia. So there we go. You can all sort
so
it out.
So going under the nutmegs.
That's
I like
right.
it. I like it.
Right. I've got another odd one from soccer.
Yeah.
It's the only game I can think of where one player has actually got special protections. Now, if you think about AFL or league or union, and you can tackle any player. Provided it's a legal tackle.
You wherever. Can.
But the goalkeeper, particularly within that six-yard box thing, cannot be tackled.
Mm.
Right. And that is the place where the goalkeeper... No, hang on. I think it's the other bigger square where they take the goal kicks from. But the goalie has certain protections. You know, you may not lay a hand on a goalie. Now, in fact, the other thing that's odd is the word tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Because tackle, depending on the sport, is enormously different. In American rules, you can tackle someone without the ball.
Yep.
But, Zane,
you can't do that in
which of our sports, if any, can you tackle someone without the ball?
AFL, because you're shepherding, so you're effectively shepherding them off the ball.
But you're not actually laying hands on them, are you?
Well, you can't push them per se, but you can definitely lay hands to try and, how's the word, manhandle, is that the way to use it, Carl?
Manipulate.
Yeah.
Use your body.
If you're both going for the ball.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but if they're right off the ball, you can't.
Yeah, and in soccer, there's another rule. If you're going to tackle, the first thing you make contact with must be the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Not the body.
Okay.
So that if there happens to be some physical contact after you've actually got your foot on the ball and you're fighting for it, right, that's okay. But if the first thing you do is actually touch the person, then that's an illegal tackle, which is totally unlike American rules, where they're all over each other.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's multiple people making tackles, aren't they, trying to either an offensive or the defensive line. So, yeah, you're right, Rolly. That's a good point.
And I've got a question, Zane, for you. The red card, yellow card thing.
Yes.
Was that a soccer invention?
Look, that's a good question because it's used in so many sports now. Rugby's got red and yellow cards, but yes, I think it is a soccer thing. I think it originated in soccer.
Yeah. I believe it's gone over to hockey as well. I used to play hockey at school. Hockey's fun. It's a bit like soccer, but with something that you can do strange and evil things with, like a hockey stick.
Yes. So your yellow card... Okay, so to be yellow carded, what does that mean? It means you're getting a warning, does it? Like, that's once, buddy.
10 minutes sin bin. If you get this is the interesting thing. So in rugby, it's a 10 minute sin bin, and a red card is a send off. Mm-hmm. And they use it also in the Super League. But if you have it in football, you get 2 yellow cards. If you have a second yellow, then you get a red and you're off, or you can get a straight red, which means that you're off.
Okay, so you don't...
If you get a red card, you're off the field.
Okay, sure. So you don't have to get warnings. It can be bad enough, first off, that the umpire just goes, nope, see you, sunshine, like they did in Game 1 of State of Origin.
Yes, the controversial
not that we're still filthy about that.
We did, yes. By the way, in American football, they have got a special word for that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen very often, but the word is eject, and you can be ejected from the game.
Okay, now we've got Martin from Chelmer on the line. Hey, Martin.
Yes, good to talk to the three of you. And soccer is sometimes referred to, and so it should be, as the beautiful game.
Yes.
Oh, I've forgotten that, yes.
I had the good fortune. I do remember England winning their one World Cup in 1966 at Wembley. Mm-hmm. And I had the good fortune to go up to with family there to Doha for the last World Cup. And I was actually in the stadium when England beat Denmark 1-0. Never to be forgotten. And what I saw yesterday just replicated what I saw 3.5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But a few expressions, I don't know if they've been covered off. Clean sheet, no goals.
Yes.
Green sheet.
No, clean.
Clean sheet.
Okay. A true ball. And, of course, a hat-trick, 3 goals. And the overlap. And they're just some of the expressions that are used. So, what I've seen so far, and yesterday, to watch that game, to see Australia against all the odds play as well as they did, it was just superb. And 5 o'clock, I think it is, next Saturday morning, when they play the US of A. And
we'll all be awake.
Yeah, the Turkish captain said that his team dominated. I didn't see that myself.
Oh, they had 70% of the ball.
Right, but they didn't do it much.
But every time they took it down, we just blocked them.
But that was the defence.
As I understand the defence, Zeta, you probably know better than me, but that's how it looked. They got a whole lot more of the ball, but they were just blocked from scoring goals.
Yeah,
it's interesting because we've got a back five and we use 2 wing backs. We use Italiano on one side and we use Jordy Boss on the other, and they run like you wouldn't believe to get it from one end of the field to the other. And our back five were superb, particularly in the middle. Cam Burgess and Harry Suter, they were amazing. And surprisingly, Turkey just didn't change their tactics. They kept trying to go with high crosses into the box, which are just, for those 2 players who are very tall, Burgess and Suter, they just headed them away, and they didn't try to dribble through, they didn't try to penetrate with passing. They kept trying to shoot from outside. It was just remarkable how well the Australians defended.
Yeah. It was a bit like watching Chris Fagan when the Lions are losing and he thinks, nah, we'll just keep going the way we're going.
The world will break down.
I've got a question for you, by the way, now that we're talking about Chris. In Australian rules, it's a coach, the person who's in control of the strategy of the game and so on. Mm. In soccer, it's the manager. Yes,
particularly in the UK and around the world, they talk about their football manager as opposed to their coach. But I find it remarkable as well too, because we still call it a coach. We call Tony Popovich our coach, but he's the manager of the Socceroos. And yeah, it's I wonder where that comes from, because when we talk about in rugby league and rugby union and the AFL, when we talk about football managers, we're talking about the manager of the football department, not necessarily the coach. So it's a very interesting difference.
It is. It's an important one too. There are some other things which are, I think, soccer only. Headers and volleys. Volley, perhaps. I've never heard someone in AFL volleying a ball.
No. And we don't volley.
On the other hand, there are no drop kicks. Well, actually,
there are drop kicks
in soccer. When the goalie kicks off, he sometimes does.
Yep.
But also the bicycle kick, I think, is a soccer special. Am I right?
A bicycle kick?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. So that's where, Cal, the ball goes over your head, and basically you do a 360 and you swing your body around and you kick it basically with your foot in the air and your head down towards the ground.
I've seen them. They look amazing. I hope I see one in the World Cup.
Riley McGree, a couple of years ago, did an amazing bicycle kick come scorpion kick that was just incredible, that scored a goal from about 30 metres out down in Newcastle. And, if you want to have a look at the highlights of that, it's one of the great moments in Australian football history. And talking about, you know, the way that football has its own terminology, I heard a hat-trick there before in regards to the goals from Martin there. They've stole that from cricket, didn't they? That was a straight-out cricket terminology?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. There is a certain amount of leakage between sports. And I think in Australian sports, we've taken the American dugout. I think that was used to be for the where the players...
That's for baseball, the dugout.
Yeah, but also double zoning and team... things like, and is it zone defence or something? I think those are both baseball. So that these things have ended up in our game. And soccer has also given lots of things to other things. The thing that really interests me, though, is how soccer terms are now in everyday use, which have nothing to do with football.
Such as
kickoff. All right. The program kicks off at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yes, I say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anything beginning, a meeting, an event of some kind.
Yep.
So this is, and you don't have a kickoff in AFL either.
No, you don't.
Right.
You have a ball up.
We don't even have a first bounce anymore, Rolly, which really does my head in.
That's it.
I like first bounce.
Making us all sad.
Own goal. can you have an own goal in anything other than soccer?
Yes, you can. Well, I've talked about that, having an own goal in the office where I've made some major mistakes. Kelly sits behind me. She hears me when I do them.
This is when you unintentionally do something which harms your own interests.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can own goal. In AFL, even if you put it through the oppositions, it's still a point.
Is it? If you kick the ball through your opposition's goal, do they get six or
one? No, they get a point.
One. It's a rushed. Rush behind.
Yeah.
Rush behind, yeah. Now, rush behind is, again, this is AFL has got another series of things which are not found elsewhere, like specky, for example, or hanger, which are not. But, again, what about back of the net using this sort of... You put that in the back of the net, meaning he really did that well, has done a terrific success or something like that. And I think you can say offside as well. Don't get offside with so-and-so, meaning don't get on the wrong side of so-on.
Yes.
And also to move the goalposts, meaning someone's changed the expectations or the criteria or something. Now, all of these are originally, I think, soccer.
Yeah, it would make sense.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, especially moving the goalposts. Those would be easier to move than AFL ones.
I remember I used to call with Craig Ball, who's got a Scottish background, and one day he said, and the ball's gone in the back of the onion bag. And I looked at him and I was like, what is he talking? And then I went, it's gone in the goal. So that's when I realised the onion bag was the goal. So you learn, even when you're doing the sport, you learn these things as you're going along.
Yeah.
The other thing is a pitch. You have a cricket pitch and a soccer pitch or a football pitch. But as far as I know, a hockey field, it's an AFL ground or a field. It's not a...
Rugby?
Not a pitch. It's not a pitch in rugby that I know of.
It's not.
Rugby league isn't. So other than cricket and I think that's another football one. Slash soccer.
Yep.
I think pitch is that, would that be right, Zeno? Are you going through all
that's
the sports
a, that's
you know?
A good one, Kelly, because you're right. We say league ground or rugby ground. We don't say pitch, whereas you do say soccer pitch. You're right.
Yeah, and yet pitch invasion.
Yeah, a pitch invasion. Yeah, but the pitch in cricket is just a bit in the middle.
Yes.
Whereas for the soccer thing, it's the entire area where you play, at least the bit bounded by the lines, which are the important ones.
See, I was paying attention during Ted Lasso.
Of course you were.
It's where most of the world outside of soccer lovers or football lovers have learned about
sweepers,
soccer.
Sweepers, for example. We don't have sweepers in any other football
sweepers?
That I know.
No, but you can sweep in... In AFL, you might be said to have swept if you try to lunge and take out somebody's ankles
or
feet.
Or something, I wonder.
It might be a sweep, but not sweepers as in what you're talking
and
about.
And of course, striker.
No.
Is there some... The
a striker,
there
yeah.
To,
that's,
to get goals.
That's almost a cricket... Do you reckon that's a cricket one as well, Zeno?
I don't think...
Somebody's
I
a good striker of the ball?
That's a good point about why someone... I guess it's because you're good at a football strike and scoring a goal, but why the front position is called the striker instead of just being a forward, there is... Yeah, I like that. That is a good point, yeah, the old striker position. And
nice.
You know what? It shows how poor my athletic performance was. I used to play sweeper back in the day. Do you know Australian football used to be renowned for having a sweeper, which is a very negative position? I mean, we've been talking about how we you know, didn't have possession against Turkey. We only got about 22% of the ball, and everyone was saying, oh, how defensive our team was. Well, back in the day, like in the early 80s, when we had Paul Wade and those guys on the side, Charlie Yanko, we used to play with a sweeper, which is coming in behind the fullback. So that just goes to show how much we've moved on as a nation and we have become more attacking.
So it was a kind of an insurance policy.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. The sweeper was the guy in front of the goalkeeper who basically mopped up if the fullbacks didn't do their job.
Now, Brett at Ipswich says, hey, guys, can you be nutmegged if you're playing in women's soccer? Sure, Brett. Absolutely you can. I, in fact, I would argue those girls, they go harder. So,
in that case, that rules out one of our possible explanations.
Yeah, it takes one of those explanations out.
Okay, I've got a couple of other football-y things.
They've got them just higher is all, Joan Jett once said.
I don't think... never mind.
Anyhow, Rolly.
Yeah, a couple more footy expressions.
Yep,
just
go
in
ahead.
General usage. On the ball. If someone is very much on the ball.
On the ball.
They are focused and doing well. A level playing field suggests that, we are... There's no advantage on either side for what we're trying to do. Even a game of two halves.
A game of two halves.
I've heard that, with some sort of negotiation. Yep. The first half might be really tough, but then you start getting to some sort of agreement and game of two halves.
So, Rolly, you might have to change that explanation now because we've got these ad breaks in play at the World Cup in the United States. We've got these quarters in place now. We've got these hydration breaks, so we're not getting a half of football. We're getting two quarters.
We are.
Four quarters,
Yes. Wow. All right. Hydration break. All right. Well, yes.
Money changes everything. And apparently...
A nature break or something if you need to get off and have a pee?
That's right. Yes, it is a nature break. That's right.
There you are.
Goodness gracious.
We have another world of vocabulary opening up there because I'm a cyclist, but never.
And there's also apparently a simulation where a player throws themselves to the ground without being touched.
Oh, yes.
Our South American friends are very good at simulation.
That's right. They're also good at commentating. I heard one bloke going, go, la, 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 and he went on for about 20 seconds.
He was very excited. Very excited.
But that was in the years of Pelé or Maradona or something. Both of whom were
I think in those days it used to be to see how long you could hold it, and whoever got to about 25 seconds used to win the gold medal. So that was
the gold medal. Thank you, Zan.
Oh, wait a minute. Nathan has chimed in on the text line. Thanks, Nathan. Saying traditionally in rugby union you play on the rugby pitch. I think the pitch is an English term. Maybe it was.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Wow. Okay, now that will send me back to the dictionary.
Well, we're going back to research. Thank you, Nathan. All right. That is quite a session.
So football is one of the basic parts of our cultural structure. And bits of it filter out and some bits of it filter in. And we run our lot of lives a bit like a football game. hopefully, on a level playing field.
We do. Yeah. Would you like to have the last word?
Would I ever?
Yes.
A guy walks into a bar wearing a referee's jersey. Nobody talks to him for 90 minutes.
They obviously weren't soccer players because these ones, they talk to the referee constantly.
The whole time. Rolly Sussex, thank you, of course.
Thank you. Thanks, Zane. That was wonderful.
Zane Bojack from ABC Sport, Professor Rolly Sussex.
A word in your ear. A podcast from ABC Radio Brisbane. For more information, head to abc.net.au/Brisbane.